What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 19th, 2019, a date that will live in infamy. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30 winner, a.k.a. the second best baby blues, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
How are you right now, Timothy?
You know what? I'm going to push through. We got this. We were on a flight from Toronto.
Of course.
Here to San Francisco this morning.
Right.
At what would be, like, what? 2 a.m. this time?
Something like that.
Yeah. But hey, big news day. One of the biggest news days of the year so far.
I was going to say, this is going to be a kind of funny Games Daily for the books. I don't know if we've had a bigger one, seeing as how usually E3, we don't do the show, right?
Yeah.
We do things around that. Like, you'll have big events, but to have so many big events on one day, it's kind of crazy.
Nintendo Indie World.
Right.
Xbox Inside Xbox.
Yeah.
Google Stadia Connect.
Yeah.
And then Gamescom, one opening night live. Not one night.
And believe it or not, none of those are the lead story on the Roper Report, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Thank you, Toronto. So many of you Canadian best friends came out to support us at the Canadian National Exhibition in the Gaming Garage. We had a great time doing 3 days of panels, six panels with you. Of course, thank you to Drinkbox. Thank you to Ubisoft. Thank you to Nathan Vella from Cappy Games for coming out and being part of interview panels that were all fascinating, entertaining, interesting. Thank you for being such a great audience. If you were there at the Gaming Garage, thank you for coming to the meet and greet. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the love. We love coming and seeing you guys. We'll be back soon for EGLX in October. Believe it or not, that's not even the most recent show, though. Go to kindoffunny.com/events right now. You can learn about everything we're doing at PAX West up in Seattle next weekend. Whole bunch of stuff. And it's all developing. There's still some stuff we haven't announced yet because the people haven't announced it. But stuff's coming. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by We Have Cool Friends in Party Mode.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
In the longest will they, won't they, in the history of video games, PlayStation has bought Insomniac Games. I read from their official press release. Sony Interactive Entertainment announced today that SIE has entered into definitive agreements to acquire Insomniac Games Incorporated, a leading game developer and longtime partner of SIE in its entirety. Insomniac Games is the developer of PlayStation 4's top-selling Marvel's Spider-Man and the hugely popular PlayStation Ratchet & Clank franchise. Upon completion of the acquisition, Insomniac Games will join the global development operation of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios. Insomniac Games is the 14th studio to join SIE's Worldwide Studios family. This addition furthers SIE's continued commitment to creative performance and innovation in game development exclusively for the PlayStation platforms. Then there's a bunch of quotes we don't care about. Then there's one line we care about. Marvel's Spider-Man has sold through more than 13.2 million copies worldwide as of July 28th, 2019.
Huge numbers. I was trying to get some info here. Last we heard, both God of War and Horizon have crossed 10 million.
Okay.
So this, them dropping that specific of a number, I think they're trying to say something.
Right? Definitely. I mean, by leading at the top, right, of talking about it being PlayStation 4's top selling. Yeah, I mean, like, it's the top game on the platform right now, obviously.
But this is proof. Exclusives matter. Let's look at these numbers for these three games, these three giant marquee titles that we know the next gen are going to get sequels.
I'm going to continue here now. Building on a working relationship between Insomniac Games and SIE spanning more than 20 years, this acquisition enhances the creative forces within SIE WWS and formally adds a studio to the PlayStation family that continues to raise the bar on open-world, story-driven games. The day-to-day operations of Insomniac Games post-closing of the acquisition are expected to be run by the current management team in conjunction with SIE Worldwide Studios' San Mateo Studio. Completion of the acquisition is subject to regulatory approvals and certain other closing conditions. Financial financial terms of the transaction, including the acquisition cost, are not disclosed due to contractual commitments. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For years and years and years and years and years, it's been a conversation point when you talk to Ted Price or whatever about, man, why haven't you? And this is, I mean, even before Sunset Overdrive, right? Before you saw them start reaching out with the VR. Why haven't you accepted an offer? Because they've talked about that there's been conversations before, and Ted's always been like, it wasn't the right time. You know what I mean? We didn't want to go that way. We still wanted to go out and try other things, do different things. We've seen it, obviously, with them working with EA before. We've seen them work with Microsoft, as I said before. All these different things. It became that, well, I guess it's just never going to happen. They're always going to want to be that giant. I mean, it's always funny when
biggest
you talk about
indie.
Exactly. An independent studio, right, that's out there doing their own thing to that level. But here we are, out of the blue, in the middle of Gamescom, in the middle of Gamescom one night only, right? Like, in the middle of Jeff Keighley's giant presentation, this news dropped, and I think did steal a lot of thunder from what we were seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Twitter feeds were blowing up with this, and it was definitely kind of halting the conversation about the Gamescom stuff going on, even though the next story was a PlayStation exclusive game that's out now.
Yeah.
But this is
Erica,
huge news.
We'll talk about it.
Very cool. I, as a fan of Spider-Man and of PlayStation exclusives, I think this is fantastic news for them to double down and focus on making super high quality exclusive titles.
Yeah.
And what does this mean for Insomniac's other franchises, right? When you look at Sunset Overdrive, like I've already seen a lot of scuttlebutt. Who knows how much of it's true, how much of it's not. But even if they don't have the rights necessarily to the first game, do they own the property of Sunset Overdrive?
Funny you ask. Over on Twitter, obviously Insomniac's been on it. Johnny on the spot answering questions. One of the things they tweeted was, we own the Sunset Overdrive IP, but the original game is an Xbox One exclusive.
There you go.
So they can make another Sunset Overdrive for PlayStation if they wanted to now. And, again, arguably, you know, not really rubber meets the road or how much does somebody's word worth, I guess. But Phil Spencer in, it was last week we were talking to, from the one Xbox exclusive. Sorry, I've been up since, like, 1 a.m. this time, was saying that, you know, if it makes sense, you know, they'll put games on other platforms, they'll do these other things. I can't imagine it being too far gone of a conclusion here that PlayStation could come to them and be like, hey, we have Insomniac now. If I don't think this would happen because I don't think there's enough juice in the Sunset Overdrive Orange for this.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have a conversation with them about picking up those rights, bringing it over, right? It's similar to a Mass Effect situation where that took forever to get to PlayStation and actually have the chance to play it. But there are a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Kebabs writes in with one. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. What's up, KFGD crew? Sony is to acquire Insomniac Games, and I'm really excited about it. And it throws in an interesting facet. For the past few years, Insomniac have been making VR games like Edge of Nowhere, The Unspoken, Feral Rights, and the upcoming Stormland exclusively for Oculus headsets. Do you think the acquisition means these titles will find their way to PlayStation VR at some point? Thanks, and keep being awesome. Kebabs.
I think that it comes down to similar stuff as Sunset Overdrive. We don't know the licensing deals with that, of who owns the actual IP and how that all worked. But you got to imagine that PlayStation VR would want as many titles as possible,
right,
if they could get them. So
my thought, I mean, and I don't know, Kebabs, and kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if it's already been coming up. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff breaking today all at once, all happening on Twitter. It's hard to keep up with. So if you know better than me, please do. I would assume that no. You won't see those games cross over because I'm assuming that was all part of the Oculus agreement they had with Insomniac of, hey, we need games. We're going to fund your games. We're going to get these games on our platform. Mm-hmm. I doubt Oculus wants to give that up. That's a pre-existing condition. You bring up the upcoming Stormland, right? I don't think that we've seen this. This is becoming a often brought up story here, right? Of like, cool, Sony has now bought Insomniac. They were working on a third party game or a game off PlayStation. That's still going to be off PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to change it. And similar when you look at like Outer Worlds, right? Getting bought up by Microsoft, the studio, of course, by Microsoft. And then that means it's still going to go to everywhere. They're going to complete their contractual obligations, which again, back to the line in the press release, right? It's like, financial terms of the transaction, including the acquisition costs, are not disclosed due to contractual commitments. That obviously is very broad, but it does obviously bring up the fact that Insomniac has a lot of different contracts out right now and is working on a lot of different things.
A ton of different games. Like, they had their hands everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like, when now they have played Spider-Man being such a success, it's like, well, okay. We're gonna. I'm sure there was a huge paycheck that came along with that.
Oh my God, totally.
And just the guarantee of, hey, like, we're gonna expand your team. We're gonna do more. We want you to be able to create what you want to create with one of the most popular IPs in the characters in the world.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're stoked about that.
Oh my God, totally. I'm sure that's what Insomniac's stoked about. About the money, obviously. Mm-hmm. About the security. We talk about this all the time before. But then, yeah, the resource management of, like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not saying they didn't want to make those Oculus games or something to that effect, but it is the idea that PlayStation's like, cool, let's not have you be this wandering nomad anymore, making all sorts of great games. Come with us, get under here, and let's get you focused. Let's get you focused on two games at a time, whatever they want to do, three games. But, like, beef up the Spider-Man 2 team. Do all these different things in that world, and then maybe not have to worry about it. And I'm speaking out of turn here. I'm not sure what Insomniac's take on VR was or anything, mm-hmm. how successful their games were on Oculus, anything to that front. But there is that. If you are still passionate about VR, we do have a VR headset that's doing quite
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it is. The last couple of years, they've had the ability to spread their teams out and do different projects, and to even just get that out of your system, and that's not the best way to put it, but
sure.
like, you know, to kind of have been able to have the opportunity to make those games. And now it's like, okay, well, now we're all hands on deck. Spider-Man, next gen, let's fucking go. Real quick, I need a thumbnail picture of you. Again, that one didn't work.
Okay, well, I saw Fran did one very similar to me, right?
Yeah.
Kevin, talk to the audio listeners while we do this real quick.
Hey, audio listeners, what's up? They're taking a picture. Is it getting sexual? No, but it might at any point. Greg mm-hmm. Miller keeping his shirt on. This is wild. Cool. He hasn't kept his shirt on.
Thank you, Kevin. Great job.
Sausage.
Steven James Oslin writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hi, Greg and Tim. Exciting news announcing today with Insomniac being acquired by Sony. Obviously, this means Spider-Man 2 is basically confirmed, but what do you think the focus of the studio is going to be? Will we see a lot of new IP, or do you think we'll see new entries in existing franchises such as Ratchet and Clank or even Resistance, he says. Or are they going all in on Fuse? Just kidding. Curious to hear what you think.
I honestly think that this, quote unquote, confirms Spider-Man 2 and 3 at the very least.
Yeah.
If not some other Marvel game being made by Insomniac as well.
Interesting.
And I also think that Ratchet is a guarantee to make a return at some point.
Right.
Like, I think that it's just too good of a property that makes
too much
money. I
think you let it cook longer, though, right?
Yeah,
I don't think there's any hurry on
it.
It
hasn't been that long. I mean, it's been...
Since the movie one.
It's been a while since
then. But we were kind of funny when that happened, right? When the Ratchet and Clank game came out.
Yeah, like 2016.
I feel like, I don't know if there's a... It's similar to what we're talking about with Spider-Man. I just don't think that... I think let's get everybody all hands on deck to make that awesome. Let's not sidetrack it. Yeah, we'll get back to Ratchet and Clank. I do think it's interesting, again, to pull from the direct quote, right? Formerly add a studio to the PlayStation family that continues to raise the bar on open-world, story-driven games. Like, we're talking about, what are they going to do? Would it be a new... I think it's going to be open-world, story-driven games. Now, of course, a Resistance first-person shooter could be an open-world, story-driven game. I don't really buy it. It would be, though. I think that's what they're saying is, I think that they found success with Spider-Man, obviously. Insomniac was great at that game. They were great at Sunset Overdrive. They were great. I think they want them to keep making those kind of games. I think I have to say third-person open-world is what they're looking for. Now, granted, Ratchet & Clank is as well over there.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm looking this up. So it came out in 2016. Ratchet and Clank PS4 sales make it the most successful Insomniac game ever. Obviously, now beaten
dated
by Spider-Man.
Yeah,
But I still think that says something. I think that we'll get Ratchet sooner than later.
Okay,
within the first 2.5 years of the PS5.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense,
and
that would be a big deal. That would be a big pop,
right? Like the last one was $40,
yeah.
And granted, it was a remake of the first one, but I feel like with where we're at, them talking about wanting to make bigger open world games, I don't see Ratchet becoming that. I see Ratchet staying what it is, which is a smaller title that it is very family friendly and super fun for kids of all ages.
Oh sure,
like myself. Okay. But this is really exciting news, I think, for what it means for the future of the Spider-Man franchise, which I can't stop thinking about. Recently, I was talking to Andy about it when we were in Toronto. It's like...
Oh, number one games journalist, Andy Cortez?
Okay. It's like, I've been thinking about God of War and Spider-Man a lot. I'm like, man, do I want to boot those up again?
Yeah.
And just start them over?
You like, never played him Spider-Man, right? You could double back.
So close. It. Yeah, but I want to, like, go through it.
Okay, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to get you away.
But
I think,
what a damn game.
You know, I know that, obviously, I saw a lot of Twitter chatter. Obviously, lots of congratulations for Insomniac. But a lot of people who were upset, right? That they don't want to see these guys go exclusive. That they loved a Sunset Overdrive. They wanted more Insomniac games on Xbox. I think this rings so in line with what we were hearing from Nathan Vella at CNE during our interview, right? Where he was talking about exclusivity, right? And these kind of deals and the Epic Game Store and all these different things. And his take on it was simple, right? Of like, as long you make the decisions you make as a studio, as a developer, right, to ensure that you get to continue being a studio and a developer. So lots of times you see the business part of this, the developers aren't good at that. That's what drags them down. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but I would hazard a guess that after a 20-year working relationship with PlayStation, if you want to Google however long Insomniac's been around, because it's been forever, I can imagine it's tiring to constantly be worrying about and hustling and go in like, okay, how are we going to make sure everybody's getting paid? Like, sure, Spider-Man's a huge hit. That's great. But we've been there before where things haven't gone, and we know that it all changes. And it'd be nice to have somebody take all of that off our shoulders. And not all of it, maybe, but some of it in terms of HR, payroll, and all these dumb things that I think get in the way of people being creative and making games.
Absolutely. 94. 94. When Insomniac first came in. It's crazy to think that Sucker Punch, Insomniac, and Naughty Dog, when you start thinking about PS1, PS2 mascot platformers, like they got Sly, they got Crash, they got Spyro, they got
finally got them.
Ratchet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Congratulations to Insomniac. A lot of good, people we love over there. It's a big news day for them. Good move for them. Congratulations, Shuhei, bringing them on the stable finally. Shuhei's got to sit there, be having a beer right now, being like, I finally got him. Finally landed this fish.
Yeah.
I've been fighting the Ted Price fish in the water for years. Finally got in the boat, clobbered it over the head. Now they're just going to make DLC for games. Number two on the Roper Report. There was a Nintendo thing, Tim. Mm-hmm. It was called the Nintendo Indie World. You have a theory about this. What is going on with
that? Well, so the problem is I might be speaking out of my ass now because I haven't seen it, and it's out
there
already.
We were on a plane when it was going. We only read about it.
So, we just read the summary of it. But I feel like now that David Baker has left Nintendo to go to Microsoft.
Yeah, he's at Xbox.
And he was kind of the guy that was pushing the Nindies and Nindie Showcase and all that. Around the world, we've seen Nintendo over the last couple years with the Switch have different naming conventions for their indie showcases.
Based on where they are.
Whether it was Nindie Showcase or the Nintendo European, whatever, like they had different names, and I think in Japan it was Indie World, and I think that now they're trying to use Indie World as their
unified thing,
which is cool. Like going forward, just like keep it all united because there's no point really breaking it up.
Of course not. Get one message.
It allows more hype in one specific thing instead of spreading it out across.
I hope they keep Nindies though. I like Nindies. Call them Nindies. You know.
I don't think they're gonna anymore.
God damn it, Kevin.
Yeah, but we got some really really good announcements today.
Here they come. This is from Nintendo's official press release. The innovative first-person shooter Super Hot and Hotline Miami Collection, which features both games from the high-octane Hotline Miami series, are available to purchase on Nintendo eShop today. The online multiplayer roguelike Risk of Rain 2 from Gearbox Publishing was revealed as coming to Nintendo Switch this summer, while strategy and mythology inspired Northgard from Shiru Games and the pinball inspired dungeon crawler Creature in the Well from Flight School Studio.
September 6th for Creature in the Well.
Okay. Why is that not in the sentence?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, they're available today for pre-purchase. I see. Furthermore, the critically acclaimed action platform Ori and the Blind Forest will be coming to Nintendo Switch on September 27th as Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition.
Let's fucking go, boys.
You got it. You've been predicting it for a while. It finally happened.
Yeah, I know. And I'm no Nostradamus, as the kids say.
Nostradamus.
Yes. It's just this seemed like an inevitability after Cuphead making the travels over, the jolly old travels over to Nintendo Switch. Ori, one of the best Xbox One games, in my opinion. Had a great time playing the first one. Can't wait for the second one. And it's right at home on the Switch.
Of course. You
know? Just beautiful 2D, old school Metroidvania style gameplay, and I love seeing Microsoft kind of play nice with others, including Nintendo.
Yeah,
specifically Nintendo in some cases with the Switch and games like this being right at home. There's something about cutesy characters and old school gameplay that really just feels at home on the Switch. So this is great, and more people are going to get to play it.
So the bullet point rundown of all this, right, is that we just talked about Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition, developed by Moon Studios and published by Xbox Game Studios. That, of course, coming out September 27th on the Switch. Hotline Miami Collection is available today on the Switch. Super Hot is available today on the Nintendo Switch. Risk of Rain 2 launches on the Nintendo Switch this summer. Torchlight 2, developed by Panic Button Runic Games and published by Perfect World Entertainment, is an award-winning action RPG launching soon for the Nintendo Switch. Eastward, an adventure game with RPG elements from developers Pixpill and publishers Chucklefish is going to arrive on the Nintendo Switch early 2020. Freedom Finger, who you've seen in the Kinda Funny Game Showcase before, is bringing its 37 levels of crazy cartoon action, shoot 'em up, punch 'em up, smash 'em up on September 27th, the Switch. The Tourist is coming out to the Nintendo Switch in November. Skellboy is coming to the Nintendo Switch December 3rd. Roki is an adventure game inspired by Scandinavian folklore. It's coming to Nintendo Switch this winter. Europa is a gravity-defying puzzle platform paint adventure about breaking rules, being upside down, and thinking outside the box. That's coming to Nintendo Switch in 2019. Earth Knight is a beautifully hand-illustrated 2D platformer about the dragon apocalypse. It's up to the 14-year-old school kid with a freelance photographer to stop them. This launches in 2019 on the Switch. Dungeon Defenders Awaken comes out on Switch February 2020. Skater XL, which I saw people freaking out about. I'm going to read you the whole thing.
Yeah.
Skater XL is the next evolution in skateboarding video games that brings the fun, creativity, and culture of skateboarding to the digital world. Created by a team of passionate skateboarders, Skater XL allows players to add style and expression to their tricks without the limits of pre-made animations. Skater XL comes in Nintendo Switch in 2020.
Kev, I sent Assets a video of that one.
For Skater in the Well? Or yeah. Skater XL? Skater in the Well. Yeah, and then here's just a run of release dates that were also there. All right, here we go. Just take a deep breath. Blasphemous comes... Maybe Blasphemous? I don't know. September 10th, 2019. Close to the Sun, 2019. Cat Quest 2, Fall, 2019. Spirit Fair, Spring, 2020. Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, doesn't have a date on there, but I think it's just the other Trine 4 day. As you said, Creature in the Well comes out September 6th. One Finger Death Punch 2 comes out December 2nd. Best Friend Forever comes out February 14th, 2020. This is a dog dating simulator thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's a Joey Noel game if I ever heard of one.
Hell yeah.
You want to see this trailer now? This is what? The Skater XL?
This is Skater XL, yeah.
Let's see the Skater XL.
So obvious vibes here. We're seeing some schools, we're seeing some skate parks, we're seeing some hot boy skaters.
We're seeing some hot boy skaters?
Here they are.
Ooh, look at these hot boys!
Getting some Tony Hawk's Pro Skater vibes, getting some Skate 4 vibes.
Does it do it for you? Because I know you're stoked.
I'm interested in it, but yeah. I feel like specifically when it comes to the THPS franchise, like there's so much that goes into making that what it is, and generic music like this, not necessarily business.
Well, it's an indie, though. That's an indie. You know what I mean?
I get it. I get it.
Now you got to play with your own tunes. See. Make your own little playlist on Spotify.
Still, the fact that these games could still exist makes me happy, and
you'll support
probably
this?
The best way to go. Yeah, this looks good enough for me to play.
Did you watch the trailer for Best Friend Forever?
I watched it without sound.
Can we get the Best Friend Forever trailer up here? This is the one where it's a dating simulator, but it's also a dog care simulator. You're not dating the dogs, but you're dating the people, and they have their dogs. So it's kind of like, oh, I want to date this person, and they have a corgi or whatever.
Yeah.
Here comes the trailer for that one. Best Friend Forever.
Hello, it's me, Cheeseball. Are you tired of being sad and alone? Sick of living in squalor with no friends? Play Best Friend Forever. BFF is the most cutting edge and only.
I like all the infrared at the top. You date the humans, not the dogs.
Adopt and care for your very
hot dog,
own
hot dog,
friend.
Hot diggity dog.
That's me, or one of the others.
There better be a wiener dog in here.
Explore Rainbow Bay. Name the world's most.
So this is a Joey Noel asking.
It looks like Dream Daddy mixed up
with Joey's dreams.
I would say Dream Daddy mixed up with Nintendogs to an extent, right? A lot of dogs. A lot of good dogs. I didn't see a wiener dog, though. That's a big problem for me.
What a bargain.
What? Oh.
Oh, he made a poop.
Pick up my poop.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, I don't like that one bit.
There you go.
That's what you do with dogs. That
one would have got you.
Game.dog right now. We'll get the latest news about BFF and I'll get more treats. That's www.bffgame.dog. I'm the dot dog. Go now.
Wow. All right. It seems weird as hell. Whatever. I'm going to do it. Should worth pointing out, since we watched that trailer, just for full disclosure, that is a Pop Agenda represented game.
Oh.
So, you know, my
part.
Weird wife's working on this weird dog game. Where I leave off. Creature in the Well, September 6th, One Finger, Death Punch 2, Best Friend Forever, February 14th, 2020. Then Fogs is coming out in early 2020. Then What the Golf comes out winter 2019. Kine comes out 2019.
Which we saw a bit of as well in the Stadia.
Don't spoil it. We're coming up on that, right? Hypercharge Unboxed comes out winter 2019. Northgard, as we said before, September 26th, 2019. Sparklight, Fall 2019. And then Munchkin Quacked Quest comes out Fall 2019.
Why not?
I know this is hard since we didn't watch the presentation,
uh-huh.
But what's your read on these announcements?
I mean, this sounds like a very solid Nintendo indie showcase.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
having Ori, that alone is like, cool. That's huge.
Well, yeah, Super Hot, I think, is a great movie. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And granted, Super Hot, like, was essentially was confirmed like a week ago.
Oh, was it? I didn't see that.
That leaked. So, like, we knew it was going to happen, but it's still a big deal. Now it's everywhere.
Torchlight 2. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not up to this. Is that a news that that's coming to Switch? Or we already know it was going to come to Switch eventually? Because I know that game is a big deal. So, I mean, like, I didn't play it on PC. I'd be interested in playing it here.
But I think that, you know, the Switch has been home to such great, weird indies and, like,
totally do
a great job of showcasing them and things like this. But it's also kind of wrapped with things like Hotline Miami Collection out today. You know, like, that stuff really matters to kind of bulk up the Switch's eShop assortment.
Breaking news from the chat here from Kebabs. Ubisoft has blocked the official Gamescom opening night conference on the Game Awards YouTube channel. Lol.
Wow.
I bet we get blocked then too eventually, but I bet they also fix that pretty quickly because that's not obviously on purpose. You know how it is with these digital right copyrights. You can't do anything. Tim, number three on the Roper Report. There was a Google Stadia Connect. This is the first thing we got to do. We're fresh off the plane. Mm-hmm. We rode right over here.
Yep.
Kicked it up with Fran Mirabella. Of course, reactions to that live right now. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Yes.
So I'm going to run you through the bullet points. Then you want to come back and talk about everything?
Sure.
So we saw Cyberpunk wasn't confirmed for Stadia. Coming soon, however, the official language in the press release isn't, hey, it's coming on April 16th. It's this. Cyberpunk 2077 will release April 16th, 2020 for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4, period. The Google Stadia version will launch the same year. Additional details will be made available at a later date. So, not day and date, probably. That sentence leaves you open that they maybe could be working on it, maybe they're not, whatever. We'll figure out as we go. Then, as you said, Kine was there. It's that indie that we just mentioned from Nintendo. Darksiders Genesis got some time. Looks great, in my opinion. Orcs Must Die 3 got way too much time. Windjammers 2 was there. Destroy All Humans were there. Mortal Kombat was talked about for Stadia. Super Hot was talked about for Stadia. And they talked about the free add-on, I guess, coming. Super Hot Mind Control Delete. And then Farming Sim got some time. Samurai Showdown got some time. More Doom Eternal. Attack on Titan 2. Elder Scrolls Online is coming to Stadia. Borderlands 3 had a dope ass trailer, and then Watch Dogs Legion was there, which had the same date. That most of these games said coming soon, not making you go, oh, like, I know, like, Borderlands 3, obviously you're not going to have it for September 13th since Stadia is not out, but is it going to be a launch title for Stadia? Who knows? Just said coming soon. Yeah. Watch Dogs Legion, however, did ring home the same March release date that we know for everything else. What did you think of the Stadia Direct?
Honestly, I feel like this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I think Stadia is doing a really good job of explaining to people why they matter. And until people get their hands on it and see whether it works for them or doesn't work for them, depending on where they live, all of this is nonsense that doesn't mean anything.
Of course.
But I think that them kind of putting it out there, we got Watch Dogs, we got Cyberpunk, we got a bunch of other random smaller games, but also their commitment to things like fighting games. Fighting games, I think, are going to be the thing that people are going to enjoy, have the most problem with and enjoy the least if they feel any type of latency, any input lag.
Sure.
And for them to have Samurai Showdown and Mortal Kombat and put so much emphasis on them, I think is them being like, look, we believe in this stuff. It works. And will it? We'll have to see. But I think to them saying that is definitely telling a story, putting that next to shooters, putting that next to indies, putting that next to just, look, if it's a AAA third-party title, we're trying to get it on our system as close to launch as possible.
Yeah, you know, you and Fran had an interesting conversation during it of like, oh, you're surprised this game's coming to Stadia? Like, blah, blah. And I guess for me, I'm the news about Stadia, right? The thing that matters about Stadia is how it plays when we have it. Once we get it and we know what it's like in all these different scenarios, it's going to get to that point if it's successful and we get to 2020 and the game's not coming to Stadia day and date, it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. This is another platform. Obviously, you have to ramp up to. You have to do a bunch of different things. Like Watch Dogs being like, yes, in March, we're going to be on it. Perfect. Great. The fact that Cyberpunk's like, no, we're not sure, or at least being vague about it, is a little more concerning.
I think on that side, and this is where I'm starting to talk out of my ass because I don't know the specifics of games.
You haven't been over at Stadia HQ building it?
No, I haven't. Wow. But with Cyberpunk, are we getting PC day and date with the PS4 and 360 versions?
Isn't that what I just read? Hold on. My notes are crazy. Cyberpunk 2077 will release April 16th, 2020 for PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
Then with that, I do think that they're really going to aim to get their Stadia one out as well.
I do too.
Just not ready to commit to that because how different can it be? It's a PC. It's just a PC that's somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's like licensing deals or something else that's behind the scenes, I don't understand why that would be an issue. It's not like you need to port it. It's on the system already.
Yeah.
The system's just
you have to upload
somewhere
this,
else.
You have to take this PC file and put it onto your weird Google Stadia PC
exactly.
things we're all playing off of.
But I think that that Stadia is it's, the proof's going to be in the pudding when
of course,
it, when
we
it
need
comes
our hands.
Out and when it launches. But I think that it's very key and important for them to be talking about these big games as they're ramping up before the thing is out. Because then when it does come out, if it does work, or for the people that it does work for, they're going to be like, oh, you know what? When Watch Dogs comes out, I'm going to get it on Stadia instead of one of the other systems if that works better for their lifestyles.
Yeah.
You know, and if it doesn't, cool, you can buy it in PlayStation 4 or Xbox like you always have.
Yep.
You don't. This doesn't need to affect you. As
yeah, totally, totally.
It just could. It could enhance your gaming lifestyle, or it could just be a new way for people that aren't already ingrained in an ecosystem can play games.
I have questions
mm-hmm.
from the community, but I think I want to keep them to reader mail because this is just such a where get. There's so much news coming. I'd rather just power through the news.
But
you know
like
what I mean?
My final thoughts on the. What they showed is I don't love the way that the Kinects are laid out. They do feel a little 2008 in their presentation of like how much they go on about games we already know about. The way that they show it, a little too much. Here's a trailer. Here's a talk about it. Here's more stuff. It's like too long, stop.
Sure.
But I understand that right now, before this is out there, it's just Google trying to be like, me too, we're part of the Gamescom conversation. We're part of the E3 conversation. And I think that once they start launching, imagine what the Google Kinect could look like next E3.
100%.
You know, next Gamescom, when they're out there and they're a proven thing, if it goes that way.
Number four on the Roper Report. One night only, the Jeff Keighley presentation. 2 hours from Germany.
Opening Night Live is the name of it.
I still think it should be called One Night Stand, like ECW.
Yeah.
So that's what I care. What's it called? Opening Night Live. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Saturday Night Live.
I think that we're the only people that are fucking it up.
Well, that's because I want to call it One Night Stand. So
ECW, One Night Stand.
Exactly. Also, who cares?
I know.
Jeff Keighley's thing at Gamescom was live today. It had 2 hours of stuff. Here's where we go. We talked about Gears. Gears came out. Rod Ferguson was there. This is piggybacking off of the Xbox.
Inside Xbox.
That they did earlier, which was more newsy stuff. We'll get to that when we get to Deals of the Day about the games that are coming to Game Pass, which I feel like was the biggest thing out of it. But there they did profile Gears 5, talk about Horde mode, talk about single player stuff. Or I guess actually here they did that. They showed the single player trailer.
They
whatever.
Did Horde in the Inside Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. And then the single player stuff was here. But then they showed Horde again there at Opening Night Live. Then they show that Halo Reach characters are going to be in it too.
Yep.
So that's a cool thing for people who care about that.
Totally.
THQ Nordic came out and revealed the new Comanche. It's a team-based online helicopter game. It's objective-based. You're out there driving your helicopters, your drones, blowing stuff up. If that wasn't enough, there was then like a four-second trailer for DCL, the game. This is THQ Nordic's drone racing game.
All it needed to be.
Sure.
I would argue the Comanche trailer, too long.
Well, yeah, because the trailer was fucking slow zooms on them assembling this. Like, what is this? What is this game going to be? That was out to helicopter.
It felt like it was going to be like some big hype revival reveal.
Yeah.
And it was just a reveal of a revival.
Then Need for Speed Heat came out, or I guess it's actually NFS Heat came out. They showed it. It looks cool. I mean, I'm not a racing underground kind of guy.
I was a big Need for Speed guy back in the day when Hot Pursuit 2 and Underground 1 and 2 and Most Wanted, like all of those, like there was a time where those games were kick fucking ass. And I feel like Burnout came and changed things, and then we started going down the Forza route, and like just a lot more games like that kept happening. And this seems weird, and for everything that Need for Speed's done the last two generations, I don't really have faith this is going to be an excellent game.
Yeah.
But visual wise and like kind of tone and everything they're going for, it's like there's hints from all of my favorite Need for Speed games in it. I just don't know if they're all going to come together. And I doubt it.
I got to give them hats off for the fact that you can go right now on iOS and Android and get the app that lets you design your car, start designing
cool
your cars
stuff.
Now, so that when you get there, you can upload them right away and have your custom car. That's really cool. I like that a lot. Kerbal Space Program 2 was announced. It's coming in 2020. PS4, Xbox One, PC. Little Nightmares 2 was announced. That's coming in 2020. Predator Hunting Grounds finally got like a trailer. It's 2020. It's PlayStation 4 exclusive, as you know. Ilphonic, the people behind Friday the 13th, are working on it. Same deal. Asymmetrical gameplay where one person's Predator, then four people are the Commandos. However, what was interesting here is they showed the Commandos doing some PvE stuff. So there's the PvP Predator versus you, but then it looks like you are actually going in there as the military dudes having to take down AI and try to take objectives and do all these different things while I guess the Predator hunts you, which is a cool idea rather than just make it you guys versus Predator the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure it boils down to that.
I thought that this little section of the presentation was really good, of having Kerbal Space Program 2, Little Nightmares 2, and Predator, where it's just like, hey, here's announcements, here's reveals. Like, these are real games that people care about. And like, it's not going going to speak to everybody.
Yeah.
But these games are going to speak to core groups of people. And like, that's all you can really ask for from these. If you get a Megaton announcement, like that's kind of like the cookie on top of the ice cream.
Yeah, totally. Then it was Monster Hunter Iceborne. They just showed more of Monster Hunter Iceborne. We're coming up soon. Everybody knows about that, except on PC. Haha. The Cycle then came out. Early access for that starts today. Of course, that's the PvE VP thing that's going on.
So many letters.
Life is Strange Life is Strange 2 Episode 4 got a very spoilery trailer if you're not caught up on Life is Strange. Then Sega and Amplitude came out and revealed Humankind. It's coming in 2020. It was a weird trailer of a caveman up in space in a thing and then coming back to Earth.
Playing
and then
like synth.
And then it became like it looks like it's a civilization building thing that's going on over there. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time you hear this or even now they've put up a whole breakdown on it somewhere. Then Borderlands 3 came out. It talked about post-launch content. It talked about Circle of Slaughter coming back. It's wave after wave survival mode. The longer the last, the better rewards you get. Then they talked about Proving Grounds. Proving Grounds, which is you go out into these timed missions. You have optional objectives. If you do the optional objectives, you get better loot at the end of it. Thanks to my own handiwork here of writing this in, I can tell you Andy and I played this when we did the party mode for Borderlands 2. We'll have a party mode of this as well. It's fun. It's more Borderlands. I like the idea of that being cool endgame content of, hey, man, I only have 30 minutes. You want to jump into Proving Grounds and try to get some cool loot? Yeah, let's go do that. Seems like fun. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 6 different Proving Grounds, apparently. And then also, I didn't know this. I think I said it in the party mode, too, at one point. Guardian rank is like the badass rank this time around and is different somehow. So excited to get my hands on that. Everspace 2 was announced 2021 on Steam, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. The Witcher 3 Switch officially gets a release date. It is October 15th. That's exciting. And now that I have my note here, I've also played The Witcher 3. This is going to be such a good games cast. Yeah. I played The Witcher 3 on Switch the other day when they rolled through here. You look at the trailer, and I know a lot of people even here are like, oof, yeesh. For me, it's exactly what I want. It's good enough. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather have that game on the go and be able to take it on a plane and digest it.
Did it
there.
Run well, though? Because that's the one that you don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't running. It wasn't at all a frame rate issue. It was, the issue, if anything, was like, yeah, that's a blocky texture or whatever. But in motion in my hands, I only played it handheld. It looked better than I expected to. I think it even looked a little bit, I thought it looked better than what we saw in the trailer. But I was also playing
it's
the
also you're playing
introduction, preview, little screen.
A giant ass screen. So.
Exactly. FIFA came out and did stuff, but nobody really paid attention.
It really did a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it went on and on and on. And they announced a mode that was like, hey guys, did you like FIFA Street? We're going to kind of put it in here. And there's also a weird story mode thing.
Lord Phone points out for me that the Borderlands 3 endgame content was talked about at Open Night Live, not post-launch content. Thank you. Endgame, not post-launch. Disintegration was announced or shown at least 2020. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. It's campaign and multiplayer, 5v5. You're on this weird speeder bike and you command troops down on the ground. More Darksiders Genesis, a game I'm still very excited for. Guilt was shown. It's a Stadia exclusive. It looks weird and cool. Like, scary. It scared Kevin. Destiny 2 had some more time. Remothered Broken Porcelain got a trailer and then a 2020 release date. Then Epic Game Store had a montage that was pretty much recapping stuff we know. Then this is when Jeff was like, hey, guess what? While this was live, Sony bought Insomniac. But so here's an SIE game. And then he showed Erica, which is basically a choose your own adventure, like live action thing. You're making the choices on and it's playing out. It's out right now.
Sony Playlink.
Yeah, right. Out right now from Flavorworks. You can pick it up for $9.99. Then Anno came out and showed off a whole bunch of different DLC. The Sunken Treasure DLC, the Botania DLC, the Passage DLC, and more. Oh, and then the free day and night cycle update. So if you're an Anno fan, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming.
Yeah.
Port Royale 4 is coming to everything, including the Switch. Iron Harvest is coming out September 1st, 2020. PlayStation 4, Xbox, PC, and other stores. Steam and other place PC stores. Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out. They confirmed crossplay works like you'd expect it to, console to console and console to PC. We were wondering, man, that's a weird way to say that. Does that mean only a PlayStation 4 can communicate with the PC and vice versa? So you couldn't have Xbox, PC, and PlayStation. But when I got to try it, it was working that way. So I think it's just that you can crossplay with everybody. However, even more exciting, there's an alpha this Friday on PlayStation 4 for that 2v2 mode that I think is awesome.
Yeah, you talked about that on Gamescast about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think. Big fan. It's going to make some really good party modes when we get our hands on that.
Sounds very cool.
But then the man himself came out, Hideo Kojima.
But before that.
Yeah.
A little Kojima hype trailer,
yeah.
Like the history of Kojima and Jeff's bromance.
Totally.
And I'm still convinced that that Jeff himself edited that. I want somebody to try to find the proof of that. But it just feels right.
Yeah, it was a good trailer.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was the hypest trailer of the show.
And that's the thing. It's like that. I got those eyes. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, there's a passion project here.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make this shit happen. That Kojima logo I've never seen before.
Here, hold on. You talk to the audience. I'll just text Jeff and see if I get an answer.
Yeah. But they had this trailer. Kojima comes out. And then they start talking about Death Stranding. And, man, do I understand it? No. Do I understand it more than I did before? Yes. Does it excite me more or less to play this game? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure yet. Like, this game, I keep saying, could either be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. And honestly, that gameplay looks boring as all hell to me.
What?
Not look interesting at all. It looks very barren worlds that you're in. And I know that there must be other environments that you end up at. But the last thing I want to do is like awkwardly run around and like just put ladders up. Like, it just looks like a pretty Breath of the Wild, but with too much weird shit as opposed to like crazy cool physics-based gameplay and shrines.
All right, so I'm saying Jeff, Greg Miller, live on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Our question, did you edit the Kojima hype trailer yourself? Tim says you did because it was the hotness. Let us know.
Thank you.
Sending off. We'll get an answer. If we get an answer, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be the first to know here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. So I'm sorry. I was obviously crafting a very important breaking news text. I'm trying to be a journalist here once or twice. You're saying you're turned off by what you saw of Death Stranding.
I'm not saying I'm turned off. I'm kind of confused about it. Gameplay-wise, I am turned off. Story-wise and all the weird stuff, I'm definitely not turned off.
Sure.
I like that shit. It seems very Kojima. And I will say, for as ridiculous and like, what was the one line? Babies, we don't understand them. Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was something weird like that.
It's just like, I love that. Like, it's so stupid. In the Metal Gear way that I love. And if they're building a world for the first time ever, introducing us to characters in a smaller story that doesn't have all of the legacy of 5+ titles that Metal Gear Solid had, and it's like back to what Metal Gear Solid 1 was, we didn't know who those characters were. But when you play through, you kind of are introduced to this weird story that is like very bizarre. DARPA chiefs dying left and right. You're like, what the fuck's going on, right? But I feel like if we can get that again, I'm all in on that. I just need the story to be crazy and intricate and cool and make sense.
And digestible. And be digestible.
I'm okay if the digesting you need to work for.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I don't need it to be digestible. Like, I'm okay with it being a little convoluted, a little bit complex or whatever. I just want it to actually make sense. And in the world's logic, it doesn't need to make sense to us mere mortals. You know what I mean?
No.
But the gameplay needs to back it up. And I always make the argument about Metal Gear Solid 5's gameplay being so good that it made the game good despite the story being absolute trash. And I say that as somebody that loves all the Metal Gear Solid stories, including 4, which I know a lot of people give shit, but it's like 4 understood what it was so well. And I just feel like this is a time where Kojima can really just go all out Kojima, but hopefully that means something that works as opposed to just nonsense of getting all his friends in the game. Like, I want all his friends being in the game to be a good thing, not a bad thing. And I feel like it can easily go either way.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Lord of Phone points something very important out, and you're wrong. It's BBs, not babies. BBs. B and B. Capital B, capital B. Not babies, BBs.
Weren't there BBs and babies?
No, it's just B. Well, I think the pronunciation was babies, but it's BBs. So it's just BBs. So we'll call it BBs.
Okay. Pretty sure there's both.
I'm just saying what he's pointing out.
The world.
I'm just saying. Oh, different sides of the world. I'll tell you what, man. I have no fucking idea what Death Stranding's all about. Obviously, I was fucking hyped. Everything we saw today, right? Because we saw the reveal of the character Mama, right? Her baby was born on the other side, but she still got the umbilical cord attached to her, and that's why she gropes her breast, because she's still the mama over here, and she's doing all that stuff. And then Bridge Baby and Dead Man. Guillermo del Toro explaining about like how the womb works. You gotta come in here and cleanse the baby because it gets stressed out or whatever. Then, jumping to the gameplay of it, going to deliver the package to the Luden fan, who is Jeff Keighley, just in face. Mitch Dyer, I haven't confirmed. Mitch Dyer put on Twitter that it's Jeff Keighley there, you know, his body
likeness.
And stuff. Likeness. However, the voice is Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But taking the mission, dropping off the thing, then leaving, falling down, having to pick up your baby, use the 6 access to rock your baby, make your baby, soothe your baby. I mean, can't rock it too fast.
No shit, Greg. Like, do you think the gameplay, like, I get all the story stuff because I'm right there with you where I'm like, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, this is great.
Yeah.
But, like, the gameplay stuff, does that interest you at all?
Yeah. I mean, like, the rock and the baby with the thing, it's like, that's weird. Is it going to get annoying? Who knows? I imagine you get an upgrade at some point where you're auto-soothing or something mm-hmm. to that effect. The traversal with the giant ladder, right? Like, in this, you talk about it being barren and being like, what is this and stuff. I think, obviously, yeah, this was just to set up this easy delivery side mission to Jeff Keighley, right?
It's just weird that we saw very little gameplay before this game at E3 last year, I want to say. Was that right?
The last E3?
The last E3. Yeah. And we saw the first gameplay of it, and we saw the ladder stuff and, like, just kind of running around similarly mm-hmm. barren-looking worlds. And that was it. And this is the next gameplay we've ever seen for this game. And it's the same thing to just get us to the Jeff Keighley reveal, which yeah. I get. And they're saying it's a tease, and TGS, we're going to get more. Cool. But, like, I just feel like for what this is, it felt a little like, man, we're so close to release. Like, there should have been some new gameplay element that's like, even if it was like some hype trailer, like a quick 30-second, like, just flashes of seeing things that look different, seeing you do things that are actually fun to play in a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, they're playing this so close to the vest on what this game's all about and what it's doing and where I think that would be the reason they didn't.
Yeah.
Right. And is TGS confirmed or was that just a joke? Because I thought it was.
I don't know.
Do you guys want to see gameplay? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, all right, TGS. Oh, just kidding.
Well, then they were like, we'll give you a hint here.
Yeah.
And
yeah
then, so
yeah.
I think they're implying that the full thing will be there. But
yeah, I mean, but all that said, I'd rather not see anything.
Yeah.
Like,
but here's my problem.
Lay the problem on me.
I'm right there with you of the, like, I'd rather not see anything and just give it to us and let us experience this fucking crazy weird thing all together on November 8th.
Yeah.
But is there something they're hiding?
Yeah, the game's not good or something.
Or is there's not more? Like, or is this what it is?
Yeah, you're just delivering packages and rocking your baby. We've seen kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We've seen Norman with a gun in this though, right? Like, we know there's gunplay to it. Or am I thinking of a cutscene where he had a gun? Or am I just totally wrong altogether?
I don't know.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Where? Cam Kronick or Koenig says, we're both kind of right. BBs equal bridge babies. So it is babies, and it's bridge babies, and it's BBs, and it's babies. So I stand corrected, and Lord of Pwn loses his right to ever talk to us again. So there you go. He's just lost it all right there. Okay?
Wow. So fast.
Right, that's how it is. Is it,
lap
you know what I mean?
Luxury to the floor of despair.
Somebody's got to put him in his place.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have him coming in here and giving us wrong information about BBs and babies.
Yeah. Still the game, one of the games I'm most hyped for this year. And I really...
So now here's my thing, though. Remember when you said on the Gamescast what you were hyped for it and you were looking for it? I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, like, do you think you're going to finish this game?
Do you think I'm going to finish? I don't know. It really depends. If there is fun gameplay, if the gameplay is as good as Metal Gear Solid 5, yes. I finished Metal Gear Solid 5, even though that story was stupid. So I'll finish this.
Okay.
If it's not, I can't promise that to you, Greg Miller.
I understand. I'm not asking you to put your life in line here. Nanobiologist's ban has been lifted. He says, currently, Kojima Productions is only confirmed for merchandise area of TGS.
Cool.
So that doesn't... I mean, obviously, they could do something else, but just putting that out there for you. Number 5 on the Roper Report. Oh, hold on. Actually, I have my thing here. Okay, they're talking about flashbacks. There was gunplay stuff, so maybe I'm wrong. Number 5 on the Roper Report. PUBG is confirming it's going cross-play. PUBG Corporation today announced that cross-network play is being added to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds PUBG on PlayStation 4 Computer Entertainment System and Xbox One. By unlocking a larger player pool, cross-network play will provide shorter wait times for console players and create a more unified PUBG experience. Cross-network play will release on the public test server in late September, with the live server launch in early October. In addition to cross-network play, PUBG Corporation is taking another step towards creating a unified experience with faster console edition updates. Console players will be able to dive into content sooner than ever before, as updates will launch within 2 weeks of their PC counterparts. Starting with PUBG Season 4, which releases August 27th on the console, all in-game content will be caught up and aligned across all platforms. All subsequent console updates will then land 2 weeks after its release on PC.
Bring on the future, man. I love this. I love seeing crossplay from PUBG. I love seeing it from Call of Duty. I love seeing everything that Fortnite's doing. I love seeing what Destiny's doing. Mm-hmm. I love seeing mm-hmm. what Google Stadia's doing, what Microsoft's about to do with xCloud. All of this stuff works in conjunction with each other, in tandem with each other. We're going to get something great eventually where everything that we want is going to be there. We can play our games on whatever console we want and keep the cross progression, cross save, cross all that stuff. It's just a matter of time, and more and more and more people need to adopt it for it to become the norm, for us to demand that that's how things should be.
Yeah. So shout out PUBG making it happen over there with cross-play. It doesn't seem like cross-progression, but cross-play. Worth pointing out, just to clarify, it is PlayStation 4 playing with Xbox One. No PC stuff involved there, you'd imagine, because of the games being different, as you already see by the staggered schedules for things. Number 6 on the Roper Report, Stranger Things is coming to Dead by Daylight. This is Matt Kim at IGN.com. Dead by Daylight comes to Hawkins, Indiana, as Behavior Interactive announces its next horror collaboration will be with Netflix Stranger Things. A new Demogorgon killer will also be added to the game, along with two survivors, Nancy Wheeler and Steve Harrington. Dead by Daylight is an asymmetrical multiplayer horror game where one player controls a killer and up to four players control survivors. The point of the game depends on which side of the struggle you end up playing. If you're a survivor, the point is to escape an enclosed area. If you're a killer, well, hopefully the goal is self-explanatory. You have to kill all survivors. The survivors and killers all have different abilities depending on which character you choose. The killers are usually more powerful, so survivors will need to survive using environmental traps, cunning, and teamwork. I didn't see in the IGN story, but Polygon had it for me. They added, this chapter is set to release in September on both PC and consoles. Tim.
Yes.
Jeff Keighley still hasn't texted me back. Ooh. He's in Germany. I'm sure he's very busy. I'm sure it's not that he doesn't love me. I'm sure it's not that he's probably talking with Kojima right now. Mm-hmm. However, IGN.com tweeted at 1:33 p.m. August 19th, 2019.
Yeah.
Please enjoy this video edited by Jeff Keighley starring Hideo Kojima.
Seriously?
Yeah. You know hype when you see it.
I know hype when I see it.
Yeah. The first response is from Dank Memesbot, who said, this was tweeted 3 times. What the fuck? Tim!
I'm really, really proud of myself, Grant.
I'm proud of you every day, but this is a good one for you. This is a big one for you. Tim!
Yes.
I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for video games, but video games are still so far away. If I wanted more video games, where could I go to find out about video games?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Shows each and every weekday.
Yeah. Now, cool, Greg, you're supposed to say yeah with me. I know you're just filling in over there. This is one strike for you.
All right.
Just think about it.
All right.
Out today. It's been a busy morning, and we flew in from Toronto, and I didn't open up the Kotaku thing. So hold on 1 second. I'm opening up Kotaku as I often do to see what is actually out
going on
today.
On the Kotalks.
Okay. Oh, no, it did that thing. It always loads the ad in as I go to click, and then boop, and I fuck it up.
It's stuck, man.
According
stuck
to Kotaku, today, Blood... Oh, there's another ad. Blood Magic on PC. Strazeal on PC. Incident Commander on PC and Mac. Block Dodge Challenge on PC. And Troll Skog on PC. I'm going to get there, man. Looking forward to a nap. New dates for you. Here's where we get into a whole bunch of stuff. Pack a lunch, everybody. Sniper Ghost Warrior contracts were released on PC and PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on November 22nd, 2019. Lucy James at GameSpot reports, Atlas has announced that Persona 5 Royal, an updated version, I think it's actually Royal, don't bite my face off, Persona 5 Royal, an updated version of the critically acclaimed RPG will be available for the PS4 in Western territories from spring 2020. Publisher All In Games revealed their newest Ghost Runner, a hardcore cyberpunk adventure developed by One More Level. Become a cyber warrior and experience dynamic fights on PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
Now here's the deal, Greg.
Please do, because
I sent Cool Greg. Is he over there? Yes. I sent Assets a video, if you could please pull up. We landed on a plane. First thing I did, pull up Twitter to see what was going on in the video game world, if Ori was actually coming to Switch, and it was. I was very excited. But I also saw a trailer for this game called Ghost Runner, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. It looks like Dreams. Not the game.
Okay, it looks like your dream come true kind of thing?
Dreams. Yeah. Can you pull us up, Cool Greg, so they could see?
Yeah, sound too?
Yeah, give some sound, baby. Or, I'm sorry, BB. You're my bridge, baby. I'm gonna start calling everybody Bridge Baby. Pop Roach back there, see?
Death. It followed us to this place. I can feel it all around. A virus in a system.
So if you're not a listener, it's very cyberpunky.
The wires, corroding the very essence.
Oh my god, it's first person. I got a sword. I got a katana. I just jumped out and stabbed this guy really grossly, and he's dead. Now I'm running with my katana. I'm wall running. Oh, I'm tethering. I'm sliding under things. I'm running a wall.
So it's like Mirror's Edge, Titanfall, Celeste,
Katana Zero.
Right, all in one.
Yeah.
With a cyberpunk flair.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you talked about being excited about it. I hadn't seen the trailer, but when I saw the news come through, I wanted to put it on there. I don't actually have a release window for you, but I wanted to give a shout out. It's one of the many games to see starting to get announced from Gamescom. Wouldn't be surprised if IGN has it over on their store. You can add it to your wish list right now on Steam. No release window on it. Cool, don't scroll down. And then let me, can you expand, show more there? Yeah. Okay, you'll be able to get your hands on Ghost Runner for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC later this year. Then Lucy O'Brien at IGN says,
wow.
Global publishing giant Tencent has announced a brand new sci-fi shooter, Synced Off-Planet, in partnership with NVIDIA. Officially unveiled at NVIDIA's showcase at Gamescom, Synced Off-Planet combines survival crafting and base building with PvPvE experience with up to 50 players and 1,000 corrupted human cyborgs called nanos. It is being developed by Next Studios as part of Tencent. So look for that one too. Mm-hmm. Twin stick shooter Space Cows is coming September 5th in Nintendo Switch and PC. Creature in the Well launches September 6th. That was before I noticed in the Nintendo thing. Die Young is leaving early access September 12th. Deals of the day for you. This is from the Xbox thing that I can never remember the name
Inside
of.
Inside Xbox.
They have a Game Pass update. I'm reading from.
And it's a doozy, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm reading from the Joe Screbbles report, a made up name at IGN.com. Age of Empires Definitive Edition lands August 19th. That's today. Right? Yeah, that's today. Devil May Cry 5, August 19th. That's today.
Devil May Cry 5. One of my games of the year so far.
Wow.
Came out, what, March? So 5 months after release? Get an Xbox Game Pass?
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Play this game. That's fantastic.
Stellaris, August 19th. Ape Out, August 22nd. Ape Out, fantastic game from Devolver. You know, I talked about it a lot when it came to Switch, so you should be playing this one too. Kingdom Come Deliverance, August 22nd. I think some of those words were understandable. Bard's Tale 4, Director's Cut, August 27th. Blair Witch Project, August 30th. I'm excited for that one, period, for a horror game, let alone now that you can just get it on Game Pass. Pretty nice. Dead Cells.
Dead Cells. September 5th. September 5th, man. Get on it. Game Pass coming together.
According to Scrabble's a fake person, all games on that list are available on PC and will also join the. It's on Xbox and PC, basically. All right.
All the games on the list that are available on PC will also be on PC.
Thank you.
So if they're
you.
Not on
gotcha.
PC, then they won't be.
Yeah, that sentence said, I'm too tired to understand what that meant. Tim, it's time for Reader Mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. We'll start with We Have Cool Friends. Did you guys know we have a brand new podcast called We Have Cool Friends? Well, we do, ladies and gentlemen. And if you go to youtube.com/kindoffunny or podcast services around the globe, you can catch interviews with our cool friends. We heard you when you said you didn't like the Game Over Greggy show, getting our kind of funny rigmarole interrupted with somebody in coming about their life. So we put all of our cool friends over on the show, We Have Cool Friends. So you can go there right now. Listen to Echo Chloe. Mm-hmm. She is up right now being interviewed by Tim on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can get it on podcast services. It's all about her week as the first ever Kind of Funny up and comer.
Yep.
There's other great episodes up, of course. Cameron Cuff's over there.
Brian Foster.
Thank you. That's who I was reaching for. I can announce for the first time ever. Boy Meets World star Batman Beyond Will Friedle coming in for We Have Cool Friends here. So
when is that?
I need to look at a calendar. I'm way too tired to pull that date out of my ass. But if you look at it, you can figure it out. It's on the calendar for whenever it is. It's definitely not this week. So that go ahead and click there. It's next week live.
Next week
Monday.
My God.
11 a.m. ish. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe. If you never plan on listening to it, still mean a lot to us if you went over and subscribed to it on podcast services, gave it a review, thumbs up on YouTube, all that jazz. Our next sponsor, of course, is Party Mode. Each and every Wednesday, we put one up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you don't want to give us money to get it early, no big deal. The next day it posts on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It is our very produced Let's Play series that we love very dearly. Borderlands 2 is up right now with me and Andy playing through the opening of the game. We would love it if you went over there, watched it. Remember, we know we're very popular as podcasts. We know our podcast numbers are crazy and awesome. We would love it if our YouTube numbers showed any sign of that. So you can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Even if you never plan on using it, subscribe to that channel. Watch Party Mode. Make Andy feel like all his hard work and struggles with his crappy PC are not for nothing. And also, hey, Kevin. Crappy. Kevin's hard work on the PC as well. Kevin over there staying up late trying to fix it for him.
Another PC just broke right now, guys.
What happened?
The Cool Greg's editing PC shut down, won't turn back on.
Perfect. Right. Kind of funny. Reader mail time.
Give me some of that good stuff.
We got good questions. I'm trying to see what order I want to give them to you. You know what I mean? Let's start with DJ Bradshill.
Cool.
What's good, guys? So Gamescom started off with an announcement of loads of indies coming to Switch in the next couple of months, including Ori and the Blind Forest. Get fucking hyped. Last week, Frandria talked about xCloud and how the focus will clearly be on mobile devices rather than Stadia's literally everywhere approach. With Ori being another Microsoft exclusive coming to Switch, Cuphead being the first, how possible is it that xCloud could be implemented onto the Switch? With beefier internals than a phone, the Switch could possibly get more than a good enough experience on the go for first-party Microsoft and third-party AAA titles. Also, how likely do you think it is that Ori 2 will come to Switch in light of this announcement? Ori is legitimately one of Microsoft's best exclusives this generation, and I'm stoked that a whole lot of people will be able to experience it on Switch. Happy Monday. Hope you have a great week.
Lots to take in here.
Let's start with Ori 2. I feel like the streaming games on Switch we talk about a lot. Yeah, so let's talk about Ori 2.
Talk about Ori 2. I feel like if Ori 2 were to be day and date with Switch, that would be the doors are busted open and there's no limits to what can actually happen here. If it doesn't come day and date, you can imagine it's going to come eventually. If it even is possible. Ori 2 definitely looks leaps and bounds better than Ori 1.
Yeah.
But I imagine some type of scaled down version could work on the Switch for sure. But I feel like that'd be very exciting news if it were to be announced that it's coming with it, because that would mean that pretty much anything Xbox could happen on Switch natively.
Yeah.
Right? That's really exciting to me. I think that Cuphead is a good example and, like, you know, proof of concept that that might happen, because Cuphead is on Switch now, came obviously a year plus after it first came out on Xbox, but when the DLC comes out next year, it's day and date across both. So it's DLC that is a little bit different than a brand new game, but for a game like Cuphead that it's going to take so long to develop even the DLC, I think that they're treating that maybe not equally to Ori 2, but in the same kind of vein as that, right? So if they're doing that day and date, I don't see why Ori 2 wouldn't, if it sells
what
well
is
on Switch.
Do we know what the date is for Ori 2?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't kept up with that one. I know that's a Tim ass game, as they say.
It's 2020.
Okay. Just making sure. Just checking in.
February 11th.
February 11th. Okay. And then the question of, do you think xCloud will come to Switch? I've been saying that for pretty much ever.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it will. Yeah, exactly. I don't think it'll be at launch. I'd be shocked if when they announce xCloud and a date and all that jazz, if they're like, it's coming to Switch that day. But I think it'll be like a year, two.
Within a year.
Yeah. That sound right to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. David Scott writes in, says, what's up, KFGD crew? I have a very specific question I want your input on. With Stadia coming out soon, I've been on the fence about getting it. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro and a 4K HDR TV. I am on the fence about buying an Xbox One X or a Stadia Founders Edition. I know the One X is getting close to being replaced next year. I also love jumping onto new tech hype. I want your input on what you think would be a better investment. Thanks as always, David Scott, aka Demon Waffle.
The next Xbox, for sure. Wait for it. Whether or not you get the Stadia Founders Edition, it's not that expensive. If you are the type of person that cares about tech like this and we're buying all these different things,
you probably, at $129, don't get me wrong, it's money, but it's not.
But you can totally invest in that. If you do think that it's not worth it, then don't get it and just wait for the next Xbox. I think it's too late to buy an Xbox One X at this point, unless there are games that you're dying to play.
For me personally, I mean, I obviously bought my Founders Pack. I'm very excited for Stadia and streaming future in general. If this close in November, you might as well wait on that. Like, what do you? I mean, like, is somebody gonna steal Demon Waffle? Maybe, but like, I really, I think that's the one benefit. You can totally wait till everybody gets their hands on it, and it's either like, holy shit, this is great, or oh my god, do they have a lot of work to do? Oh my god, is this not running well?
Yeah.
I don't think like with the Xbox, the next Xbox, right? Like, there's gonna be launch titles and exclusivity and things things that system can only do.
We already know Halo Infinite. And I mean, granted, that's on Xbox One X as well.
But it'll look better on this. No.
But yeah, if you care about that stuff, you're going to want it on the next one.
Exactly, yeah. So I would just, at this point, just wait and see what happens with Stadia. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to jump in if you're not gung-ho on that stream in future. Speaking of, Tommy, boy, writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Greg, you made a big deal during the Stadia stream on whether you would go from PS4 to Stadia for big AAA releases. My question is, why not go to Xbox? With xCloud, you'll be able to stream your game on the road and keep your progress when at home, which seems to solve the problem. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, Stadia gets all the juice in the talk right now because Stadia is further along in talking.
It's being talked about.
I played xCloud at E3 and I thought Stadia ran better. Different environments. Stadia, hardwired. It was Etherneted in, right? Xbox, not. It was running on Wi-Fi at the back of the convention hall there or whatever.
I had a great experience with xCloud.
I did not have a bad experience. I'm just saying I thought Stadia ran better. Right now, we're talking about Stadia, so I'm talking about Stadia. Yeah. If Xbox comes out and delivers all the stuff I'm talking about and is better, is flawless, I've said that before, that I would move over. Again, though, when you're talking about, like, And my question is, why not go with Xbox? The Xbox will be able to stream your game on the road and keep your progress when you're at home. People keep, I think, are thinking about Stadia, and maybe it's even the way I'm presenting it, thinking about Stadia in the way I was thinking about Stadia until I sat down at E3 and was plugged into a Chromebook, and I was running it at 1080p, and it felt like I was playing a console. Of the, oh, right, if I'm at home and I plug this into HDMI with the Chromecast or whatever, it's going to be playing a console at home. I'm not, the... For me, it's the whether it's xCloud or whether it's Stadia, it's about taking the game on the road. If I took Cyberpunk with me on the road, when I came back home, I then plug in the thing to the HDMI with the Ethernet port and have the best experience and all that jazz. I feel like that's getting lost for some reason, where he's like, why not have the best of both worlds? Like, no, well, Stadia is also the best of both worlds. Like,
I think what he's saying, though, is that then you could, if you had an Xbox One X, then you could like play it on that at home, dedicated. You're not streaming off the internet. So you don't need to worry about that stuff at all. And then take it with you on the go.
Yeah. But I mean, Stadia, I feel like, I guess, yeah, I'd have it locally on the Xbox One. But I mean, yeah, Stadia would just be plugged in at 4K anyway, right? Theoretically. Theoretically, everything's working great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But I still don't think that even with all that it'll look as good as just having it physically natively there.
Of course. We'll see.
But those things, we need to know what xCloud actually is as a product, not just as tech.
Yeah.
So
a lot of questions.
They need to talk about it, and I don't know that they're going to talk about it before E3. So I don't know why they would. Either.
Well, they're going to go into beta this fall, right? An opener beta.
Yeah, but even then, like I don't think that's a product. That's still just tech being.
Sure. Demo. Fair. That's fair.
Like I don't think we're going to get a xCloud. They're going to stop calling it that. They're going to call it something real.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Until the next Xbox is revealed properly. And I think they'll be in tandem because they need to work together.
Okay. Fair, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, this is where we ask people to go to kindoffunny.com/Patreon, where they can submit their squad up. I read your name, your platform of choice, your name, what game you need help in. Best friends come and find you already plays games together. None of you submitted new ones, so nobody gets read. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Go there. Submit that stuff. You're wrong, though, is still kicking. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later and doing that jazz. Lord of Pwn says Stadia runs off Linux and custom AMD hardware. Okay. Don't know what that was. Nanobiologist says, Miss News, XO19 is in London and has a date of November 14th through the 17th, 2019, with many new announcements from Microsoft Game Studios.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Totally not Lord of Pwn says, Greg and Andy are actually playing Borderlands 3 in the latest party mode, not Borderlands 2. Again, sleep deprived. Sorry. Thank you for keeping me straight. I probably lost 10,000 viewers by saying we were playing an old game. Fuck me. I ruined the company. This is a Tim nerdy thing. I don't care. Admiral Hipper says, don't forget that Wilfred L is the voice of Bumblebee in Transformers Prime, Robots in Disguise, among others. Okay. Ori 2 will release February 10th, 2020. We said that, right? Mm-hmm. That was the same date you said?
I think I said 11th, but whatever.
Whatever, it's right around there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been a banger of a Kind of Funny Games Daily. Lots of news to get through. Congratulations to Jeff Keighley.
Yeah.
The rest of the hosts this week look like this. Tomorrow it's me and Andrea. Wednesday it's me and Gary. Thursday it's me and Andrea. Friday it's me and Tim. There is a new Gamescast recording Thursday, August 22nd at 2 p.m. You can watch it. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can leave your questions. It'll be me, Tim, Fran, and Andrea. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're all tired.
We're going to go to sleep, Greg.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and not talk for a few hours.
Oh, it's going to be really nice.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, please like, subscribe, share, and all that jazz. It's been our pleasure to serve you.